TU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Andrew Scherville. Andrew is the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn, operating out of Tallahassee, coming up on our election ballot about 40 days from now, November the 5th, Amendment 4. We have 6 amendments to vote on in the state of Florida. Amendment 3 in particular is the one that's going to legalize pot on every street corner and in every home and every family. Amendment 4 will legalize murder by way of abortion and will bring in hundreds of thousands of people from around the nation to come to Florida as the abortion capital of America. And I am concerned about that. We're talking about it. In Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how you slice it. To take a child's life, an individual's life, in the womb or out of the womb is murder. And we're talking about what I call the murder amendment, which is on the ballot in the next few days. You'll have an opportunity to vote yes or no. And Andrew just said before the news break that every Christian should vote no on Amendment 4. And that's my challenge to us today. Andrew, take a few minutes, because I'm looking at a postcard that I received, and it says vote no on Amendment 4, and it's well summarized. It says Amendment 4 legalizes abortion. Amendment 4 removes doctors. Amendment 4 lacks clarity. Amendment 4 removes parents. Basically, go through Amendment 4, starting with its preamble, that is the 90 words introducing Amendment 4. What's wrong with the statement about it? What does it do? What does it not do? Take the time that's necessary to point by point by point, clarify, identify, and point out to our listeners why we should vote no on Amendment 4, especially as conservatives, Christians, and patriots, especially as those that are listening that have morals and values and ethics. Go through that for our listeners. And ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to Andrew speak, remember you can dial in at any time, 904-831-0917, and jump in with your questions and comments. Andrew, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Absolutely. Well, let's start first off with the title that you're going to see on your, sample ballot and on the actual ballot itself when you go to vote. It's called Amendment 4, Amendment to Limit Government Interference with Abortion. It's right there. It's going to be right there on your ballot. That's the title of it. That in itself is deceptive because it should be called the Amendment to Prohibit Any Government interaction with abortion whatsoever. That's the real intent and effect of Constitutional Amendment 4 should it pass. It doesn't limit the government. It actually prohibits our state government from interfering or, I hate to use that term, but actually regulating or prohibiting abortion in any respect whatsoever. That's the radical nature. So it starts out right away from being deceptive from its title. But if you look at the ballot summary, which is also going to appear right on those sample ballots that people are getting now in their email inboxes and in the U.S. mail as well, and that you'll see on the ballot itself when you go to vote for it, no matter how, through the mail or early voting or on the election day itself, this ballot summary that you're going to see is just two sentences, but it's very, very deceptive. The first sentence, and we have to break it down, says begins with, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. So let's stop there, because there's a second part to that sentence as well. But that's radical, because it's saying that, okay, government, you can't do anything until the child is viable outside the womb. But they don't determine, they don't say in the amendment itself what viability is. So that's right. Left for a broad interpretation. And so that's part of the big problem with this amendment overall. It lacks any clear definitions for the terms that it's using. So then let's look at the second part of that sentence, or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. The two terms there that are very ambiguous is patient's health and health care provider. So that second part of the sentence says, not only can the government not do anything about abortions when the child, before the child is viable outside the womb, whenever that may be, but actually abortions are really allowed for any reason if the patient's health care provider determines an abortion is necessary to protect the patient's health. But the patient has to be
anything. Go ahead and talk about a health care provider. What does that mean?
Well, the healthcare provider really means the abortions, but it could also mean under Florida law, anybody that provides healthcare. And there's certain definitions in Florida statute that talks about healthcare practitioners. They don't actually define providers. Very tricky. They talk about healthcare practitioners. So what I suspect, Dr. Youngblood, is that if this amendment were to pass, the abortion industry would run right to our state courts and say, look, it's not defined under Florida law precisely what a healthcare provider is, but that really should mean, I suspect that we'll argue that should mean as broad as possible. So it's not just the abortionist, but it's anybody in the abortion clinic. It's your general practitioner. It could be a psychiatrist. It could be a psychologist. It could be anybody that says, in order to protect a woman's health, you need to have this abortion, including in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. So it's
Andrew, let me jump in for just a moment. Let me jump in for just a moment. Healthcare provider, isn't a podiatrist considered a healthcare provider?
Yes. Well, it's considered a healthcare practitioner. It would mean the same exact thing. You're right, Dr. Youngblood. They would argue that that essentially is a healthcare provider under this amendment. So they're very, very clever and deceptive in what they want to do. But if you look at the second part of the second sentence in this ballot, proposed ballot amendment, it says this. This is the second and only sentence. It says, this amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. So they're basically trying to have it two ways. They're saying, look, parents can still be involved because they'll still be notified when their minor child has an abortion if this amendment were to pass. But that's true because we have a notification provision actually written into the Constitution of Florida itself. So they can't get away with getting rid of that. But what they're trying to trick people in doing is saying that, actually parents would actually still have a say in whether their minor daughter has an abortion or not. That's not true, because Florida has a separate parental consent law that was passed in 2020 and signed into law by Governor DeSantis and is the law of the land right now, that says that a parent has to approve whether their minor daughter has an abortion or not. So they actually have the ultimate say under current Florida law now. But that consent provision, that consent law would go away if this amendment passes. And all you would have for parents is that they would be notified, you know, maybe a week later that their child had the abortion and they had no say whatsoever in it. So it's very deceptive. It's meant to confuse people that are not lawyers, that do not get into the nitty-gritty of constitutional amendments. It's designed on purpose to give this veneer that parents would still have a say when they actually would have no say whatsoever. They would just be notified. It's like receiving a postcard in the mail saying, your minor daughter received this procedure and you had no say whatsoever in it at all. It's really heinous. It's really deceptive. That along with the fact that it has no limitations whatsoever for abortion, no definitions whatsoever built into this amendment, and the fact that other people other than licensed medical physicians can perform an abortion or at least can recommend an abortion under this amendment is the main problems with it. So no limits, no definitions, no doctors, and no parental consent. That all those four reasons should give everybody listening today the absolute authority, if you will, to say that means no, vote no on Amendment 4. Those are the four reasons. No limits, no definitions, no doctors, no parental consent. Therefore, I must vote no on 4. That is the correct way to vote on this heinous amendment.
Absolutely. Let me interject this thought, and I think it would be very, very evident to our listeners as to the cause and the consequences and effect. Who are the promulgators? Who are the pushers? Who are the payers for this amendment to be put on the ballot?
It's the abortion industry itself, which is a multi-billion dollar industry in this country, and not only in this country, but worldwide. And what they want to do, Dr. Youngblood, is they want to make Florida the crown jewel of the abortion industry so that it becomes a permanent abortion destination state if Amendment 4 were to pass. And we would see that we already have a high number of abortion mills. That's what we call them in the pro-life movement because that's exactly what they do, Myrna mills. But we already have a high number, even still with our Heartbeat Protection Act being in effect. But I suspect over the next 10 years, if Amendment 4 were to pass this November, we would see a doubling of those abortion murder mills. So communities right now that do not have them, and there are many communities that don't have them, they will see them opening up. And they will actually be performing abortions because we will have women traveling from all over the South and the Midwest, and including the great state of Texas, where all abortion is completely banned. We'd also have women continuing to travel from the Caribbean and from South and Central America, and even as far away, I suspect, as Europe, because as radical as Europe has become, this amendment, if it were to pass in Florida, would make us even more radical than the abortion laws in those European countries. So we would have women coming from all over the world to have abortions in the later term of pregnancy, when the baby is almost fully formed, can feel pain. It's so grisly and so barbaric, but this is their diabolical plan. And the real rub is that they would have gotten Florida voters 60% or more, which is needed for approval here in Florida in November, to actually approve their scheme. So that's why we have to defeat them. We have to send them a message that we value life here in Florida. We don't want to become the late-term abortion destination of the world. I mean, people come here to enjoy tourism and our great beaches and other activities that Florida affords. We don't want to be known for flying in women from all over the world for this heinous murder industry. So we need to stop them. It's that much of a moral imperative. And I don't believe God will bless the state if we ourselves vote to enshrine this right to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy in our state constitution.
Yes, I believe you're exactly right. One question that may be an enigma for some of our listeners, and though it's gruesome and gross in thought. I believe we need to open the box and speak to this. Many are thinking, well, that's women's health. Are we going to restrict women's health? Planned Parenthood says we want to enlarge women's health. Part of that enlargement is to have abortion on demand at any time and codify that through an amendment in our Florida Constitution. What's the motive? What is the bottom line? What is the cash in the drawer for the Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry? How do they make their money by doing this?
Planned Parenthood and their abortion industry allies make their money, Dr. Youngblood, by the fact that the later in term that an abortion can be performed, the more they will charge that woman to perform the abortion. So that's their incentive. So while they'll say publicly that we need abortion because there's so many, we need it not only in early term of pregnancy, but all the way up until birth, because we need to protect the woman's health. That's nonsense. What they really want is to continue to charge women a higher fee the later in term that an abortion can be performed. So that's their real motivation. They want to be able to make as much money as possible and exploit women in desperate situations from all over the country and all over the world in order to bring in their bottom line. And Planned Parenthood's executives, they make millions of dollars. All these abortion doctors, if you want to call them doctors, I don't. They're abortionists. They're murderers. Yes. They make huge salaries. None of these people do abortions for free. They do it because they're in it to fund their lavish lifestyles and their ideology. Planned Parenthood itself donates to the Democratic Party in this country in huge amounts. It's really a crazy symbiotic relationship where they each mutually benefit from the killing of unborn babies. It's horrific. It's horrific.
Andrew, in my research, and you might have further information. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today to Andrew Scherville. He is an attorney. He is the founder and executive director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. We're talking about today the challenge that is before us on November the 5th, and the early voting starts the 20th of October for the state of Florida, where we have the option of voting yes or no on a murder by way of abortion amendment that will codify it forever in our state constitution. But Andrew, getting back to the subject that they make money on what they charge for the abortion, is it true, in your opinion, is it factual or is it fictional that Planned Parenthood actually sells, they promulgate the sale of baby parts, hearts, lungs, liver, arms, hands, and feet, et cetera, around the globe? Is that fictional or is that a fact?
That is true, Dr. Youngblood. There was an expose done on Planned Parenthood nationally now pretty much about 9 years ago. That showed, undercover, that there was undercover video by pro-life operatives that showed Planned Parenthood executives in different parts of the country haggling over the price of baby parts. It was sick and deranged, and there were many state investigations as well as, I think there was also a congressional investigation as well, where a lot of this baby part trafficking came to light. Unfortunately, I don't believe Planned Parenthood and their abortion industry partners have been fully held accountable for this despicable trade. It's supposed to be, Actually, there's a number of laws against it, but somehow they always seem to find a way around the law, which is really very disheartening.
Well, the investigative reporter that did that investigation and videotaped and audiotaped the meeting, they talked about a baby's heart could bring $250,000 to $500,000, lungs, liver, et cetera. They set prices on each of the baby parts. And so isn't it a fact then, if they're doing that, and I believe they are, I believe it is absolutely factual and not fictional that they're doing that, though they try to deny that, but the very one that did that investigation, they now have price there in this process of prosecuting him, taking him through the courts to try to bankrupt him, trying to prove that he had doctored the tapes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But notwithstanding that being said, we realize that there's a major, major profit in doing so. And as we understand, it is Planned Parenthood that's promulgated, pushed, and paid for this to be on the ballot. And the older, more mature that infant is in the womb of the mother, the more mature the baby parts, therefore the higher rate they get in the selling the parts. So it's a money machine by murder in the, of that baby, infant child, another human being in the womb of the mother or even outside of the womb. Now, Andrew, there's a thought that comes to mind. Does the Florida law require a financial impact statement to appear alongside the proposed constitutional amendment? So what is the fight over the amendment's financial impact? Speak to that for our listeners.
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. Well, you're going to see this on your ballot. Only Amendment 3, which is the marijuana one, and Amendment 4, the pro-abortion amendment, they're the only two amendments that you're going to see this financial impact statement on, because they were brought by what's called the Citizens Initiative. So each of those industries, you know, unfortunately, have brought these amendments now for Florida voters to decide on in November. But the financial impact statement for Amendment 4 is actually much longer than the amendment itself. But the good thing about it is that it actually tells the truth about what Amendment 4 will really do. So it says right here in the financial impact statement, I'm looking at it right now on my sample ballot. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's quite lengthy. But to summarize it, it says a couple of key important parts. First, that if this amendment would pass, there would absolutely be an increase in abortions in Florida and there would be a decrease in live births. Secondly, it says that the parental consent law that we discussed earlier in your show would go away. And thirdly, it said that most likely, if this amendment were to pass, it would actually lead to taxpayer-funded abortions in Florida once again. We haven't had that for many decades in Florida. We've eliminated state monies from subsidizing other people's abortions. But if this amendment were to pass, this financial impact statement says it right there on your ballot for everybody to read, that it would likely require taxpayer funding abortions once again. So that means you and I and everybody listening that's a taxpayer would actually be subsidizing abortions through, because we don't have a state income tax in Florida, but through our sales tax. Of course, we have a 7% sales tax, everything we buy, and that goes into the coffers of the state government, we would be subsidizing other people's abortions. We would be paying for people that allegedly can't afford their own abortion. We would actually be paying for it. So it's very diabolical, hideous. If for no other reason, if you're not a Christian and you're listening, happen to be listening to the show, for no other reason to oppose Amendment 4 is that you should not be paying for somebody else's despicable choices to murder their own child. So that is my strongest point I think we should be able to make to especially non-Christians and non-believers on why they should be voting no on Amendment 4.
Amen. Two things. Our time is rapidly dissipating on us. I've always said we need an hour stretcher when we get on the air with subjects, especially like this. And this is putting you on the spot, basically, and I pray that you understand my question and the rationale behind it. Why, in your opinion, aren't pastors speaking about this from the pulpits?
Cowardice. I think it's cowardice. In today's day and age, everybody seems to want to be liked. You look at social media, everybody, the things that all these influencers value are likes and retweets or reposts or whatever you want to call them. Everybody wants to be validated. Nobody wants to feel unliked or that they're doing something against the grain. So it's nice to, you know, kind of what I talk, what I say, happy talk, you know, God is love, which God is love, and God loves you, and which he does. But then there's also a second half to that. which is that if you do not follow God's commandments, God will not be blessing you. And you are actually not a true follower of Jesus Christ if you do not adhere to the actual tenets of Christianity. And Amendment 4 is something that is diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every pastor in Florida, and more have been speaking out, but not enough, should be up in their pulpit every single week in October during early voting and the mail-in voting and prior to Election Day that weekend. They should be in the strongest terms condemning Amendment 4 and pressing upon their congregations that they must vote no on Amendment 4. They have the absolute right, First Amendment right, to speak out on this issue, and they have the absolute right to actually to urge their flocks to vote no. That is an absolute right that we all have under the First Amendment, including pastors. And because they are leaders of their churches and their congregations, they have a great amount of influence, and they have to use that. Otherwise, I believe all of us will be held to account for not doing nearly enough should this amendment pass.
Absolutely. There's a footnote that I'd like for you to address. I understand that President Trump has said he's voting no on this amendment. What is your knowledge of that, and what do you say?
Well, praise God, President Trump came out on August 30th and said, I'm voting no on Amendment 4. And that in of itself, Dr. Youngblood, should convince many people that are voting for Donald Trump and maybe have ambiguity on Amendment 4. That in of itself, and we are doing that here at Florida Voice for the Unborn, communicating that message, that should be an imperative for President Trump supporters to also follow President Trump's lead and vote no on Amendment 4. It's huge. It can't be understated. It's huge.
Absolutely. Andrew, we've got about 40 seconds left on this broadcast, and I know that's a short period of time. Would you pray for our state and pray for our listeners, pray for the vote, and that God would direct us in that?
Certainly. Dear Lord, thank you for all your blessings on Florida. Please continue to bless our great state of Florida. Please give us the wisdom we need to turn against this evil Amendment 4 fall. Please, Lord, we ask that your people vote no in strong numbers so that Amendment 4 will be defeated and we wake up on November 6th in victory and praising you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Andrew, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 91 FM, the truth.
For centuries, a cord with a lead weight on one end called a plumb line has been used to determine if something is straight and true. For centuries, God's Word has stood as the plumb line for determining if one's life is straight and true. Weekdays at 2:30 p.m. on